Amen. What a good start to the morning, huh? In preparation for this, I threatened that I'd get up and just pull a Finley and just read a verse and get out of here, but that'd be okay today because we've already had a full sermon, full message. What a powerful testimony. Thank you, Madison. And I had a little bit of a behind the scenes insight into some of her life this last few years, this process. And I wasn't planning on doing this, but if any of you guys in here prayed for Madison during that time, would you just stand up during that time of yeah. Thanks, you'd be seated. Like, that moves me. That's God's people doing God's work. And for no other reason but because they love God. And what a heart she has that she pours out in the youth. And in turn, it's great to see it already affecting other youth. And that coming full circle and coming back. And we're doing a baptism next week that much of her testimony was mentioned in this person's testimony to me. That one foot in, one foot out, hanging around. It's like, you guys know, Billy Graham passed away this past Wednesday at the age of 99. And I was going back and watching some of his sermons this week. And there's one message he was giving. It was on a base of some sort, because there's a lot of servicemen out there. But he was talking about going to Vietnam to preach. And he had stopped in Hawaii and got a shot for cholera, which probably a lot of you youth don't even know what cholera is, do you? Well, so we'll just call it the flu. How many of you guys got a flu shot this year? Yeah. So, like, the idea and the way he was using this illustration was, like, you go and you get this shot so you catch a little bit of the flu. So you don't really get it. And he was talking about that in view of, I've got quite a ring up here, is that me? In view of the church, of the Christian church, of the American church, where you go and you get a little bit of Jesus, so you don't really catch the full thing. And how powerful is that to think, man, I want you guys to catch the Jesus. I want you guys to full on get it. That was just neat to me. So thank you for sharing that. Thanks for sharing your heart in that. So, and thank you all for praying and sharing and the work that Christ is doing. How many of you guys grew up in church? How many of you guys, like, remember this song right here, like, in Bible school? Y'all go ahead and sing it. Man, yeah. Okay, that's good enough. But yeah, Jesus loves me, this I know. We heard that. We grew up with that. We were taught that every week. We heard that. We heard it in this song. We heard it in Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. We see it on T-shirts. We see it on billboards. This is my dad's license plate on his truck I went out and took a picture of. Jesus loves you. We see it everywhere. Here's a T-shirt. Even I saw this. Jesus even loves nachos. You wouldn't see this unless you're in Australia, apparently. But I thought that was really cool. But we know that. I mean, who here doesn't know that? Who here hasn't heard that Jesus loves you? But the question I wanted to bring before you is, do you love Jesus? I mean, we can know that he loves us, that he gave his life for us. We know all that. We've heard that since we were little bitty. But do we stop and ask ourselves, do I love Jesus? Do I have a heart that wants to please him? And the second question I had was, does he know it? It's one thing for me to be able to say, yes, I love Jesus, I know that. But it's another thing to say, does he know it? I mean, we can go in here and say, guys, do you love your wives? And that's another thing. We say, wives, Do your husbands love you? Do you know it? That's when it gets real. And this is the kind of the lead up I taught on our winter retreat. And looking into that, I was reading in John in preparation. The lead up to this was, I'm sorry, this is a little early. In John, we see Jesus, just like in most of the Gospels, where he goes and he's called and he starts his ministry. And he goes and he calls other disciples to come and join with him. And in the lead up from there, he chooses disciples. They drop what they're doing. They go after Jesus. They show that they love him. They show that they believe him, that they trust him. They quit everything they're doing to follow after him. And in John chapter 13, we see him, after he's performed all these miracles, all these things, he's walking in toward, he's preparing for the cross. He's going towards the cross. In John chapter 13 especially, it's where it starts his final days. He's walking in. He gets his 12 around him. He separates himself from the world. If you guys got a Bible, you can open up to John chapter 13. In this, I want to challenge you guys. Here's Jesus on the brink of giving his life away. And in a matter of 10 to 12 hours, he knows his life on this earth is over. If you guys knew that you had 10 or 12 hours to live, what would you do? Where would you go? Who would you be with? What would you say? If you knew that there is no tomorrow for you, that this is it, you've got an important message to say, you've got something to share, what would you do? What would you say? Who would you share it with? And this is kind of the lead up from chapter 13 to 16, really. He's just pouring his heart out to those that he loves. Chapter 13, verse 1, it said it was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. And I love the way this reads. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. And what did he do? Right after this, he sits down, takes his cloak off, wraps around his waist, and he washes their feet. He's just showing his heart of service to them. He's showing his love to them. He's saying, guys, I love you. I love you this much, and I want you to do the same. I want you to love each other, and so as I have loved you. And we'll get to this verse. I'm sorry if this is distracting you. But and from there, we go and we see, he's talking crazy talk to the disciples at this point. He's saying, I'm leaving, I'm going away. And they're concerned because they love him. And they're saying, well, where are you going? What's going on? And we see Peter at the end of 13 start asking, Lord, where are you going? Can I go with you? I'll give my life for you. And Jesus says, I'll tell you the truth, before this night's over, you'll deny me three times. Peter, and I love that we have question after question from 13 into 14 because it shows the heart of the disciples. Don't you guys love in Scripture when there's a question and you're like, man, I get a little bit of insight into this. I can see where he's going, why they're thinking this. I would be thinking that. I would be asking this. And we also see the heart of Jesus that's patient with them, that wants to teach them, that wants to love them. The start of 14, verse 6, is when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him. And then we get over to this verse, 15, in John, where he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And a lot of time, growing up in church especially, we don't fully get this. We look at this and say, loving Jesus is keeping his commandments. And it's not. You can love, or actually, I'm going to say, you can keep the commandments of God, you keep the commandments of Jesus, and not love him. But you can't love him and not keep his commandments. Does that make sense? It does not say, if you love me, or you show your love to me and keep my if you love me, then this. If you love me, you will keep my word. You will obey my teaching. And again, from here through 14 through 15, I want to challenge you guys this week to read through this. Read through this in the sight of, man, if I'm one of Jesus' followers, if I'm one of his disciples, and I'm sitting down with him here, what's he saying to me? And read 13, 14, 15, 16 in that light, in that view of, God, what would you be saying to me if this were your final moments on earth? How would you be showing me that you love me? And what he's saying is, I love you guys so much that I want to command you to love me. I want you to see that that's what you need, is to love me. As Madison said earlier, you can't be one foot in, one foot out. He's saying, as you're driving by this church, he's saying, are you going to love me? Is that for his good? Is that for his benefit? Does he need you in such a way? Are we that special that he has to have us? No, he doesn't have to have us, but he wants to have us, as she again said. There's work he wants to do through you, especially through his 12 disciples. He had a very special purpose to advance his kingdom, to advance his church, to the rest of us. I love down in verse 21 where it says, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. A lot of us out there are teaching that, you know, Jesus loves everyone. God loves the world. He does, absolutely does. John 3:16, for God so loves the world that he gave his only son. But then here in 14, 21, 22, 23, we see that there's a special love that goes out above and beyond this general, generic love that he has for the world. There's a special love that he gives to those that love him. And he goes on to continue to speak about giving the Holy Spirit, that his spirit that's going to come and live in us and dwell us. That's going to remind us, as he says further down, but in 22, I'm going to read on. Then Judas, not Iscariot, said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? And this is 23. Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. What a promise that is. That's nothing to take lightly, to think about. He who loves me loves my Father, and we're going to come, and this is a promise that we're going to indwell in him, that we're going to be part of him, we're going to be one with him. I was thinking about this morning while I was getting ready, so it may be a little rough, but I was thinking about, how many of you guys love going to Chick-fil-A? Nobody? Okay. Am I right? I'm just kidding. At Chick-fil-A, you go, you order something, you ask for extra sauce, they don't give it to you, you ask for something different, and you say thank you. What do they reply? My pleasure, right? And every single time, you know, every single one of those people think, man, it is just such a pleasure serving these people. This is so fun. This is pleasurable. Man, thank you for asking for extra sauce. I'm glad I can give that to you. No, probably not. But the ones that do that and do it well, you know it. You see it. They're thankful for what they have in this job. They're thankful in what this job means. They're thankful for the person that's leading this company, that's giving them direction, that's teaching them, that's training them. They believe in that. And you can see that, right? You know the difference between the person that says, my pleasure, and the person that's like, yeah, my pleasure. There's a huge difference. And in the same way, us as believers, the one that loves the Son loves the Father, and the Father loves him and makes his dwelling in him, among him. We believe in what God is teaching. Everywhere he's saying here, Jesus walking down his final hours, is saying, love, love, love me. Love the Father. Love others. Obey my teaching. Listen to my word. Well, what was his teaching? What was his word? Let's flip back to Luke 14, 26. And this is such an extreme. If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person can't be my disciple. There's probably a lot of young people in here saying, man, I'm good at that. I can hate my brother, right? I'm in. It's such an extreme example. And Matthew, he says it a little bit more gentle. In 10:37, he says, and he's speaking to crowds. He's walking along, and there's huge multitudes following behind him. And Matthew 10:37 says, anyone who loves their father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. This is the same account. He's not saying hate your father, hate your mother, but what he is saying, in view of your love for me, in view of your love for me, Jesus, it should look like hate to them. It should almost look like I'm so far above. I put you so far above my family. I put you so far above my friends, my own children, my own life. As it goes on to say in the next verse in these, that it almost looks like you care nothing more than loving Jesus. Is that where we're at? Are we so moved to that? Have we come to a point to where we think, Jesus, I want you so much that I put everything under you. I put everything under your authority. I put everything under your teachings, under your commands. We almost do that backwards here. I heard someone say, God can't really command your emotions. He can't command you to love, can he? And it's like we love our children. Who in here loves their children? But who in here does what their children say? It's like, that's kind of, unfortunately, more and more the culture is becoming like that's what love looks like. Love is obeying this and doing what your children say. And that's not right. You know, as a loving parent, you're going to tell your children what to do, and that's how you show your love to them. And how they're going to show their love to you is when they say, my pleasure, right? Not always. But when they respond, when they obey what you tell them, when they trust you, when they say, man, I believe that my parent loves me. I want to do what they tell me. I want to do what they say. I want to obey. Then you feel that love. And that's what God's asking us. That's what Jesus is asking us. He's saying, I want you to love me. Jeremiah 29:13, God says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. With what? With all your heart? What's that mean? What's that mean, Isaac? I'm calling names now. It's my youth pastor coming out of me. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, with everything. With everything. Well, you know what? I do awesome with that. From 10:45 till about, 12, 15, probably today a little closer to 12 because Jonathan's speaking. I do a real good job with that. I love God with all my heart, soul, and mind. And if I'm really feeling it, Wednesday night I'm there. I'm doing that too. What about the rest of our weeks? How are we loving God? How are we showing Jesus that I believe you? I trust you. I want you to know that I love you with all of our hearts, with all of our minds, with our souls, with all of our strength. It goes on and on, and I could read on, and that's usually what I do is I sit here and read this through, and I didn't put it up here. But I want to challenge you guys to read this, in such a way that you're saying, God, what are you trying to tell me? Where are you showing me that I need to show my love for you? Do I love Jesus? Does he know it? Do I love him in such a way that everyone knows it? That everyone around me is affected, that's moved, that's challenged? I'm going to ask the band come back up, and I've got one more verse here. And we're going to sing, and we're going to respond to God in a way to where we're going to show him our love for him. But this is Matthew 10:39. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And this is follows the verse we read earlier that says, whoever comes after me and doesn't love me more than his father, his mother, his son, his child, is not fit, is not worthy of me. It says, whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Guys, we can go out today, and we can find life. Life is there. Life's going to find us. We can go out and we can look for all the things, as Madison was sharing, that we think is going to fill this void, that we think that's going to give us that acceptance, that love. And you're going to find it. It may take you a year or two to find it. It may take you a lifetime to find it. It's all going to end up in the same place. You're going to lose it. It's not worthy of anything. Jesus, just like he was telling his disciples here, I want you to love me. I want you to be worthy of me for your good, for your own good, for your eternal soul, so I can come and live in you and dwell in you with the Holy Spirit. I can give you an inheritance, a guaranteed life that will go on forever, that will be life abundantly to its fullest. As we're choosing things out there. We're choosing to receive that shot of Jesus so we don't really fully catch it. Let's not settle for that. Let's continually ask ourselves, do I love Jesus? And does he know it? Let me pray for us and we'll stand. Let's go ahead and stand and I'll pray for us and we'll sing. Father God, I just thank you. I praise you for the gift that Jesus is. The price that he paid for my sin, for my fault, for my pushing you away. God, the path that he paved so I can come back to you. God, help me accept that. Help me to see you for who you are. And help me to come before you and respond in such a way that's worthy. God, I just thank you for his blood. It's in his name we pray. Amen.